I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Man, spent 2 weeks talking about Kawhi in this diner. All we got was four large orange juice. Hope you're feeling better, though.
This is great. Honestly, the best orange juice I've ever had. But by the way, do you think Kawhi was the one that hired that helicopter?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah?
Just to stress out Lawrence Frank for two more days?
Yeah, just like, yo, Lawrence Frank, make sure you give up Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Like, Uncle Ben is just texting people the flight code, being like, yo, track this right now. Put it on Twitter for 500 retweets.
Congratulations, Lawrence Frank. Kawhi Leonard's gone, but we're still here. I was really hoping that the last episode of Kawhi Watch was going to be Kawhi actually sitting in between us and announcing the decision, but life's full of disappointments. I'm sure you're too young to know that, but
all right.
That's how it works.
It sucks that he's gone. It really does. I think what this series showed us was that nobody knew anything about Kawhi.
Nobody.
And reading into little clues was hilarious, considering that it took something monumental, the movement of another star in a huge blockbuster trade, to get him to go to Los Angeles.
I don't know about you, but like halfway through the process last week, I had counted out the Clippers just because of their roster.
Yeah.
Like we had gone through their roster and said that if it was a basketball situation, like the Clippers were number three behind the Raptors and the Lakers.
Yeah, they were signing like Rodney Magruder and stuff. So yeah. I don't know. It seemed like they were out. But then, of course, they had all those picks and they got Paul George. Congratulations to the Clippers. You guys are finally relevant.
Congratulations, Lawrence Frank. I'm not going to delete any of my tweets. I can't believe Lawrence Frank also finished ahead of Masai in the executive of the year. Just like a double gut punch.
Again, if I see Lawrence Frank in the street, I'm fighting you. Like that's still
that
still
have
stands.
These threats on camera.
That still stands.
Yeah, I'm not doing any of that. You know how many teams have won a championship since 1991 in the NBA?
How many?
11.
All right.
Like that's one third of the league, but like that's like over a 30-year span.
Yeah.
And you know, you look at teams like, think about the Cavaliers. They had LeBron James for I think 11 seasons over two different stints. Mm. How many championships did they win? One.
One.
Think about the Thunder. For a decade, they've had Westbrook, Durant, Harden, Paul George recently. How many
Serge
titles?
Ibaka.
How many titles did they win?
Zero.
Yeah. Like, you know how hard winning a championship is? And I think we just saw that firsthand, that the Raptors built a team. They brought in Kawhi. They had Kawhi for 1 year, and they won the championship. Obviously, there's all these other circumstances that came together. And, you know, you have to give credit to Masai and the Raptors, too, for building a team that was ready to contend once they got a superstar in. The leverage thing is something that people are going to talk about. But, you know, I think in the end, if Kawhi was dead set on going to the Clippers, you know, he was going to do whatever it took. And the Clippers, obviously, were going to do whatever it took. And they did, right?
Mm-hmm.
They gave up, I think, the next 5 years of draft picks. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Gallinari. They basically mortgaged their whole future to get the two stars. So, you know, in a way, honestly, I kind of respect, if we step aside from the fact that we wanted Kawhi to come back, mm-hmm. I kind of respect the maneuvering that he was doing behind the scenes. Like, I think it's kind of hilarious that LeBron was trying to recruit him into this big three. And Kawhi was basically just like, why don't I just be LeBron? Why don't I get Paul George to request a trade just like LeBron got Anthony Davis to request a trade? Like, why don't I just make my own team in the same building as LeBron? Like, I think there's something badass about that.
No, I mean, we know Kawhi is a supremely confident human being.
Yeah.
He, as much as the Raptors are going to offer him a championship situation where you come back to the reigning champs and you can go back to the finals and have a really good shot at winning, Kawhi realizes that wherever he goes, he can kind of form that same situation. And I know some Raptors fans don't want to necessarily hear that, but like the Raptors are special, but also Kawhi is like very, very special. And once he goes to the Clippers, that team might be the best team in the NBA.
He literally changed the fate of like five franchises in like
the entire league.
In one night.
The entire league changed. It was amazing. He was the most powerful man in the NBA and he decided to exercise it accordingly. And again, this is sort of like, in terms of the era of player movement that sort of LeBron ushered in 2010 when he got the big three to form together, this is sort of the logical extension of that. I mean, Kawhi's not doing anything new necessarily. He's just kind of playing by the same rules everyone else does. Like, when you have this chance as a player to have this much power over the league, you stack the deck in your favor, and that's what Kawhi did. So
I think ultimately, can't blame him. The thing that was tough for the Raptors, too, is that I don't think Masai, or when Kawhi was looking at the situation, you could pitch him beyond next season, right? Like, there's obviously a clear path to run it back, mm-hmm. get back to the finals, and repeat as champions. But Kawhi seemed like, at least towards the, at the end of the process, that he wasn't interested in a short-term deal.
Yeah.
Like you know, after what happened in San Antonio and the one-year stop in Toronto, I think it was time for him to pick a place to settle down. And,
right.
you know, maybe Toronto would have been in better position mm-hmm. if the team was built differently.
Right.
But, you know, the way I look at it, too, is that, you know, before Kawhi came this season, the We the North era was going to be remembered for the playoff failures. Like, as much as the Raptors had made kind of leaps and bounds as a regular season team, mm-hmm. setting franchise record and wins, you were going to remember all those losses to the Cavaliers. And yeah. in, like, the most devastating fashion. Like, increasingly devastating.
They lose by, like, 40. Like,
like the P.J. regularly. Tucker comics. Like, the the LeBron defender. Like, all of that stuff. Like, that's what we're going to remember for. And Kawhi helped give the Raptors, like, a perfect end to that era.
Yeah.
And to go where we're... And I think that's the other thing, too, for fans, is that, man, the Raptors did a great job during this one season. And I don't feel like all of that is going to be wasted.
No.
Like, I feel like the Raptors are on the cusp of being that free agent destination. Look at Brooklyn.
Yeah.
3 years ago, Brooklyn was the laughingstock of the league. They had given up their entire future to the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, they announced the signings of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Look at the Clippers. They've never been to the conference finals. And yep. they positioned themselves. They built a front office. Obviously, there is some geographical advantage of being in LA.
Yeah.
And they were able to get two stars.
Yeah.
The Raptors are right there. And it only takes one.
Mm-hmm.
Once it happens, then you are a destination.
Does Kawhi leaving give you any sort of thought in terms of maybe the Raptors should try to pursue non-American players as much as possible in order to sort of try to use that advantage? Because as you mentioned, if LA has a geographical advantage, if New York has a geographical advantage, like with the amount of talent that Canada is producing, do you feel like Canada should be leveraging their own geographical
advantage? For sure.
I mean, right now there's not a player of Kawhi's caliber anywhere in Canada, but I mean, eventually maybe that's something
that comes maybe up. Elijah Fisher, who's in eighth grade right now.
I mean,
like, he's coming.
All right. Yeah. That's a deep pull.
No, but like, since like the Brian Colangelo era, they've put an emphasis on international players, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, obviously like Lenis Clazer or Leandro Barbosa isn't exactly a Kawhi Leonard type. But you even look at the team that's been built for last year, right? And Masai kind of listing off the different continents when he sat there at the season ending press conference, right? Shouted out Taiwan as well.
Yeah, of course.
Shouted out Bobby Webster.
Yep. As well. Hawaiian legend.
Yeah. So I do think, you know, probably the big free agent that the Raptors are eventually going to land is going to be an international player and even Canadian players, right?
I'm just envisioning a scenario where RJ Barrett, who throughout the finals was cheering for the Raptors, even though he had already been drafted to the Knicks, you know, like a guy like RJ Barrett.
He wants to go home.
In like 6 years, calling, you know, the Knicks and being like, I'm sorry, like Fred VanVleet gave me a phone call and I'm going home.
Yeah.
Like that's what I'm hoping for.
Listen, James Dolan. I've seen the stats on RJ Barrett first two games of Summer League. I think he's like 8-32. His career is unsalvageable. It's time to pick up the phone, call Masai, let's get this trade done.
Let's go.
It'd be hilarious if Kyle, after all this, was traded to the Knicks after all.
I think you have to be prudent and look at trading some of the vets, but trading Kyle would just be so gut-wrenching after all this.
No.
I think you...
Give Kyle a victory lap.
Give Kyle
maybe
a victory
until
lap.
The trade deadline. Trade deadline?
I think... I forgot who else said this, but like, just give this team a deadline. Like, let's see where this team is January 1.
Yeah.
And if they're bad, move the veterans. If they're good, just, you know... I moved the veterans, actually. I'm still kind of in favor of moving the veterans. But,
yeah, no, I think at some point you have to do, obviously, what's best for the future of the franchise. And to be honest, if you want to look at it a particular way, like Kawhi delayed the rebuild by a year. Like, probably if they weren't able to move pieces, they might have just, you know, said, okay, we're going to play until the end of Kyle and DeMar's contracts.
Yeah,
and
that was the three-year window.
Yeah.
And then they just traded 2 years of that window for one.
For a championship.
An actual championship
run. For the Larry O'B.
It's a pretty good trade.
What are you looking forward to? Are you looking forward to next season?
I am, as a Raptors fan. I've always wondered what a guy like Masai Ujiri would do in a rebuilding situation.
Yeah.
We've seen him build from the middle and get to a championship level.
Yeah, not championship level, to a championship.
Yeah.
Please be clear with your words.
All right. The Raptors won a championship. Don't forget that. Don't let that go.
Yeah.
But I've always been curious what a general manager like Masai Ujiri can do if given the reins to actually rebuild. They were almost going to do that in 2013.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they didn't. And I'm just curious. Like, you get Pascal some run. You give VanVleet some run. You get what the Raptors are doing right now. They're getting Stanley Johnson. They're getting Rondae Hollis Jefferson. These guys aren't like high upside, you know, talent plays. But
Matt
these are,
Thomas.
Again, 99% shooter Matt Thomas.
The great one.
The great one already, sure. Yeah, definitely not a Blue Jays pitcher. And you get these guys in and you see what these young guys can do. You, also, OG's there, Norm's there. Again, none of these guys are going to be, outside of Pascal, like huge breakout stars. Mm-hmm. But I mean, even last season, we didn't think Pascal was going to be a huge breakout star like the way he is now. So you give these young guys some run, you give Mesias a chance to actually rebuild the team. And again, he's been a phenomenal general manager. Like every single year, the last 6 years, the Raptors have improved. So I want to see what it looks like from, you know, the bottom up.
I'm like you. Like, I think I'm really excited to see how some of these guys, especially Pascal, is going to do in an elevated role. And, you know, Stanley Johnson is going to show up on media day and tell everyone to believe in the city and believe in yourself.
Okay.
And
I can't wait for Rondae Hollis Jefferson to tweet, "I got us." Don't worry.
And when the Raptors split the first two games against the Pistons in the first round next season, Nick Nurse is going to be like, "Let's get one in Detroit." And OG's going to be like, "Yo, fuck it. Let's get both."
Yeah. I can't wait.
You got me hyped, man.
I already
talked myself into the Raptors making the conference finals next season.
Yeah, and listen, there's going to be no stress either, okay? If the Raptors win like 30 games,
okay,
there's no
stress.
Okay,
he's lying. He's going to be stressed on opening night. He's going to be stressed on opening night when they're down 7 points to the Bucks at the first time out. So, you know, Kawhi watch was fun, mostly, except for the ending.
Yeah, I was we're sorry that we gave you so much confidence. Again, like everyone else, nobody knows anything about Kawhi.
Honestly, if we were to do it again today, I would say 99.98% again.
Okay.
Listen, Masai, I take the Masai believe in yourself thing very seriously. So when Masai sat up there and said he was confident, I had to back my guy. So what was the funniest, you know, I think we were trying to pick out different clues and things like that. Was there something that, like, you know, stuck out to you in terms of, oh man, in retrospect, this was really funny, or in retrospect, this didn't matter?
Okay, first off, this whole Kawhi pursuit and free agency process deserves its own book. Like,
yeah.
Get working on it already.
Yo, publishers,
all right?
Hit me up.
Yeah, already.
Available.
The funniest thing to me was when there was that article that was put out there that the Barbados Tourism Board offered him a free trip if he stayed in Toronto, and then he showed up in Barbados. Now, later it was confirmed that they were like, oh, this is just a coincidence, and we didn't offer, or he didn't accept this offer, but it was just hilarious that he showed up in Barbados. And also, he was wearing a Jays jersey, and he was using a Shoppers Drug Mart bag. Like, I don't know. That's just kind of funny.
Honestly, the Blue Jays jersey probably is what shot me to 99.98. So if you're going to blame anyone, I would blame the Jays organization for allowing the Jays shop to be open. Like, you know, I'm trying to skirt blame already, but no, honestly, there was a lot. And the one thing that does bug me is that the Toronto is in Canada billboard.
Yeah.
The fan base that put it up got Kawhi Leonard. That's tough for me.
They don't even have fans, man.
We got to move on, though. And we talked about bouncing back real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So I already got my eye on Giannis. Due for free agency in 2021.
Yeah.
What are your early feelings on that? Right now, it looks like a race between the Knicks and the Raptors and the Bucks.
You know what? I think this is the worst part about not signing Kawhi is that now the Bucks have a very, very clear path to the finals.
Yeah,
and if he makes the finals, he's probably staying. And they're going to offer him, like, the super, super max, like, extension right away.
What's the billboard we put up for Giannis?
I think you just put up a mirror and then he can see that he's in Milwaukee. But, I mean, no, but seriously, I'm probably at, like, a 15% for Giannis.
You're 15, at 15?
15%.
Yeah, no lessons learned. I'm at 65.
How are you at 65?
I just, you know, that's just how I am.
We don't even have any players on the roster in 2021. It's just Norm.
Yeah, well, you know, you guys just got to stay optimistic about life. That's another thing you're going to learn once you hit your 30s. Just want to thank everybody for watching Kawhi Watch. You know, we had a lot of fun during this run.
Yeah,
and I hope you had a lot of fun watching us too.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're finalizing our Giannis show. I don't want to call it Freak Watch. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Giannis Watch.
Chilloff Watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll be back in 2021, probably in the same diner.
Yeah.
Thank you again for watching, and we'll see you soon.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.